So moving on to the second segment, which is the people side of things. So typically shipping, logistics, supply chain, okay, shipping, let's talk shipping, is typically not seen as sexy. So what's your thoughts? I mean, how did you attract the top talent in Maersk, in MCC? What did you do to get top people on board?
Well, I always thought it was sexy. Mm. You know, from the first moment that I went to Maersk in 1990 and had the first presentation of what shipping was, I thought, wow, what a fantastic industry, and what difference do we make in the world to be part of shipping. The vision of Maersk Line has later been made into actually we create opportunities in global commerce, right? And actually MCC has adopted that vision, overall vision statement as well, because I mean that is what shipping does. Mm. Without shipping, I mean, you know, people in China couldn't eat Ecuadorian bananas, right? Mm. I mean, it is really, we are facilitating that more goods become available to everyone around the world. When I was in Argentina, I remember we had a customer who suddenly found out that in China they like chicken paws. Mm. So this guy was a huge chicken producer, but he's always just throwing out these
chicken paws.
Yeah, he's always just throwing them out. So waste, you know, not just waste. Mm. And suddenly realized that he, because of the refrigerated container and the temperature, could be kept all the way to China, and he could then sell it out here. Not for much, but definitely better than
zero. Yeah.
And I always thought it was just an interesting thing that something that was a waste before, because of shipping, actually facilitates trade and facilitates movement of goods. So hey, I always thought it was sexy, but I mean, look at Singapore as a place. I don't think shipping is amongst the highest paid jobs. So how do you attract a graduate, for example? I mean, of course, your own people have to be happy, and this is something that really I think most people in MCC is aware is very, very close to my heart. I want all my staff to actually be happy when they come to office. I have been very lucky. I am not exaggerating when I say that for 27 years, I have looked forward to going to work every single day. And it's not because I hate my family or our dog smells or anything like that. No, I seriously enjoyed coming to work. I've had 14 different jobs. I've had 24 different managers in, you know, 5 different countries. And hey, I have always enjoyed going to work. And I just wish, I've always wished, a little wishful thinking maybe, that all my staff would think like that. And if they don't, then why not? What if people just come to office to draw their salary and just, you know, started looking at the clock when it's 4 and, you know, when can I go home? Then you know, the culture and the spirit of the company will disappear. I'm not asking people to work until 10 o'clock every day. That's not the point here. But I want them to come to office and be happy. So how do I ensure this? So, you know, I do some weird things. So when I'm out on, like, customer visits or when I'm out in the organizations, I might suddenly ask a customer service representative or sales rep, you know, so what has made you happy today or this week? And if they can't think of anything, I ask them, so, okay, so let's just, you know, if you go home one day from work and you have really good mood and you're happy, then what has happened that day? What actually happened for you to be in good mood that day, feel that you had a successful day? And if you can identify that, then do more of that.
Yeah.
I know it sounds simple, but you know,
most things are simple. Yeah.
But we don't think about it, right? We come to work and then we go home and then we go to the gym or whatever we do, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we spend so many hours of our life
at work,
in the office, and probably it's also in our brains more than that. then it would be a pity if we actually didn't enjoy it, right?
Mm.
And if you don't enjoy your work, then enjoy something else. Enjoy your colleagues, or enjoy, you know, team events, mm. or in, you got, or enjoy the learning, or enjoy something.
Mm.
Because if not, I just don't believe in a successful company.
Mm. Mm.
I think one of the reasons we've been successful, and again, we only run the 17th largest shipping line with a little more than 600 people. We have some help from Maersk people and so on. So I guess in total, under our headcount is about 1,200 people. But I don't think we could run a company successful and be as successful as we've been in 8 years if the people were not energized and motivated and outright happy. I really don't think so.
Mm.
So we try to create that environment, and then we also and then I just hope that this is, you know,
contagious. Is,
it's contagious, exactly.
Yeah, I mean it's impossible that people would not notice it.
And in terms of, you know, how do we attract and retain? I mean, we are lucky being part of a big group. So there are opportunities to move from MCC to our logistic company or to Maersk, and then you can come back later when you have learned more, improved your CV. We try to do it within MCC also, but that's difficult when we run with so few layers. I mean, if there's any downside of running with few layers, it's of course that promotions from one layer to another is slightly more difficult because it's big jumps. Can be done, but just more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And there we are lucky to provide opportunities
within the group.
Mm-hmm. Why not make use of that?
Mm-hmm. And what would you say are the hardest skills to find in shipping right now?
But that's definitely about digitization.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't know enough about it, and the thing is, I mean, I know this sounds maybe a little weird, but we kind of don't know what it is we don't know. And if we could have people in who brought something new and new thinking to our company, it would be great. And then it doesn't work if it's another person from another shipping line with the same shipping environment. So actually, I'll tell you what the policy is in MCC. I always say, if we hire 3 people, then what I really want is, I would like one from a group company, meaning internal, that understands our system and the way we work. It can be Maersk, can be Safmarine, can be Damco, maybe soon Hamburg Süd. Then I would like one from the industry. It can also be in supply chain from our customers. It can be a competitor, it can be another forwarder. Mm. But someone who is in the industry, but with a different perspective than the Maersk umbrella perspective. And then I want a graduate, fresh graduate.
Mm.
Somebody from completely outside who has no clue about shipping. Preferably a young one that is, you know, understand, you could say, the younger generation. Because we have already the foundation, right? So if we hire like that, I am sure to get 3 different type of input.
Perspectives, yeah.
Perspectives. We are still a young company, 8-9 years, and I have no illusion that we are perfect. We have grown. We are probably the most profitable and the biggest carrier now. But how do you stay that? And how do you continue develop and follow the trends? I think that's always one of the biggest risks, especially when you're on the top. Right? It's too easy to just become complacent. So I really, really want to have a diverse influx of people into MCC. And what I then do is, so anyone in the headquarters, they come to my office. I hate seeing somebody in the office that I don't know.
Mm.
It's just, that's not how we do in MCC. My door is open for anyone at any level.
Mm.
And therefore, they need to know me also, and they need to have said hello to me. Otherwise, they will never ever dare to come close to where my office is, right? So the rule is that everyone has to come in and be introduced to me. And I basically say the same to everyone, which is, one, that this person has been hired to make us as MTC better, not just to do a job. So I expect this person to question or ask for anything that this person doesn't understand. And if any ideas that this person says, hey, why are they doing like this? Couldn't they do it like that? Don't just accept, no, yeah, but that's because it's a new company. I better learn. No. I want that person to actually speak up and say, hey, has anyone ever thought about this? And then, of course, accept if people say, yeah, we have, and because of this and this, it doesn't work. Okay, fine. But don't hold back. No matter what your background is, don't hold back.
Mm.
And then number two is that obviously because of the few layers we have, then a lot of authority with every single person. You can't hide in MCC. And if anyone's not delivering in their position, it has two effects. One, it's affecting the company. And two, your colleague sitting next to has to work double to cover for you. And that doesn't work. That simply doesn't work. When you work with few people in a big operation, you have a lot of authority to lead, then people also need to take that responsibility and do well.
And deliver on it.
And if they can't do that, and if they get worried about the responsibility and the fact that you can't hide here, then they're in the wrong company.
Mm.
And then I actually rather want them to not even start.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, most people actually really cherish the opportunity for actually making decisions and seeing that, hey, I've been in this company for 2 weeks and I already made a great decision and it changed something, you know, fantastic.
It's, I mean, we as humans, I think we're hardwired for that, and we want that. I mean, most people want that.
Yeah, but not all.
Not all. Not all, yeah.
I mean, and that's also a skill you have to identify, right? So there are people who do not want that. And then you got to make sure that they either get then positions where that is not so required, or maybe you help them to find something else.
Yeah. And there's a good question from Jimmy Lim also in terms of culture, and then I think you touched a little bit, but he's asking, as a leader, when and how did you decide on a company culture update? So when did the company culture needed an update or a tweak, and how did you do it? What did you do?
Well, I think I spoke a lot about already the kind of culture that I've tried to create from the beginning. So you can say, I strongly believe that a culture is not something that I can decide from the top. A company culture is something that the people create. So I have given these few guidelines that I've been talking about on how I want, you know, people to think, how I want them to have responsibilities, how I want few layers, how I want quick decision making, and how I want people to be happy. And if I visit a country and I don't feel the buzz, you know, the energy, then I'm concerned immediately. Because then I don't think we will win in that market. You know, there are 25 other shipping lines in that market, or 30 or 40. And if they have the buzz, the customers can feel it immediately. We need to have that buzz. And then, but again, I don't want to be the one coming and saying, hey, you know, the culture here is wrong. I have a close discussion with the country manager, and then we maybe together establish, you know, 10 different things that we can do to change the environment. I identify where is the problem. It can also sometimes be some people, you know, that don't fit in or create negative vibrations and so on. And that hurts the culture. And then you gotta get rid of them. I'm sorry to say, they might be very good at what they're doing, but it's just too bad if they influence negatively out. Really, nobody is above the, you can say, the spirit of the company.
Mm.
We also have something which I think is very important for our culture, which is related to our KPIs and the way we measure our people. We've always had something that we call I, the team, the company, when we award bonuses. So it's somewhat confidential and I can't go into detail, but every person's bonus has an element of the total company result, an element of their team result, meaning the whole country, not a customer service or sales, but the whole country, and then their personal contribution. But the personal contribution is a multiplication factor only of the other two. So if the company fails and the team fails, even if you're the best in the team, I mean, there's a there's a cap on your
bonus
on your bonus, and it's a low cap. And this is to prevent, again, that anyone puts themselves above the company. It really doesn't matter how good you are if your team is not doing well. And if your team is doing brilliantly, but you're not doing anything to help the other teams and the other countries so that the company does well, then what's also the point? Then I can't sit and pay out big bonuses. Mm. And I think that has actually been a very fundamental element of our of the culture we have. You know, I have people calling me the fifth or the sixth into each month. So, oh, what was the result of the previous month for the whole company? I mean, who does that? I mean, people from the countries ask us, so how did we do in August, right? I mean, because people care. They actually care how we do as a company. They don't care only about how they do.
Mm. Oh, that's a great way. It's a great way to encourage sharing and encourage teamwork and encourage... A team is always greater than an individual, no matter how brilliant that individual is. So, great, good example. Mm. And how would you win against your competitors to attract the top talent on the market? What would be some of the things that you've done in the past, or what some sharings around that?
Yeah, I don't know if I have more to add than what I have said. I mean, I don't think we pay more.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure that the good people are paid well. I mean, really well.
And the culture and the internal...
As I said, the culture, and hopefully it's a pleasant place to work, and then you can make a difference.
Yeah.
You can really make a difference. And then I personally care. I mean, now we are so big that I don't know, but maybe 4 or 5 years ago when we were 400 people, I mean, I knew the name of every single person in MCC, every single person in each country. I can't do that anymore, fortunately. That's also too much micromanagement. But again, this was in a startup, it's a build-up, and we needed to have this engagement and this emotion, right? And it really matters that every person felt that they were valued in MCC.
And they're part of something, right? I mean, it's the inclusion.
They're part of something exciting, right? I mean, and hey, we've also been helped by our results. I mean, out of the 8 years here, we've had one bad year and 7 good years. So, I mean...
In shipping, is pretty good. Given what has happened in recent times. Yeah.
Now I sound like an angel and say that it doesn't matter about payment and so on. But of course, I mean, we have been lucky to be able to give good bonuses. And because of this multiplication factor, the best people have gotten really good bonuses. Really, they have in the good years, which we've had quite a lot of. So it has also been fairly, I think, okay to work
lucrative
for. I wouldn't say lucrative because, again, the base salary is not necessarily in the high end. It's not in the low end, but it's not in the high end. But obviously, when you have the bonuses and you suddenly get 4 months, 5 months salary, that's best in the year, I mean, that helps.
Mm. Well, I'm not sure who in shipping has paid 4 or 5 months bonuses in the last 7 years.
No, we have done that to our best people a couple of times.
This is the end of part 2. Stay tuned for part 3, where we dig deeper in personal habits and success stories.